This is the story of a merge between Angel and 30-pound Bird. And while his spurs scratch the back of his pants, he's actually made of wings and eyes. How did we find ourselves here? Crashly was dead but has just reappeared. Derpy down by the fields. The relief so big he gobbled for real. He spent the millennia watching. Never had the option to choose. Forgot is his greatest fear. He won't let it happen, he'll simply refuse. Don't matter if it's monster or fake, demon or devil or goon or zombie, he'll always make sure that Crashly is here to stay. This is the story of a merge between Angel and 30-pound Bird. And while his spurs scratch up all of his pants, he has been through high school 1,000 times.
Friends in an alternate future, welcome to Mystery County Monster Hunters Club, where we use dice to tell a story of concerning countdowns and garbled gobblers in the real and actual 2006. I'm Tyler Samples, your keeper of monsters and mysteries. Let's meet our players.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rashawn Nadine Scott, and my character is Shamanda Felt, the initiate. And if we don't get out of here alive, we're going to end up like John Mayer, slow dancing in a burning room.
Hi, I'm Jeff Murdoch, and I play Adam Miller, the weird scientist, and I really hope I live to see my four-year middle school reunion.
Hi, I'm Erin Rain. I play Crashly Grenadine, the Chosen, and Crashly has trouble with time management, so she set her watch ahead by 6 minutes and now does not know how much time we have left on the countdown, and it's really stressful.
Hi, everyone. My name is Claire Linick. I play Susan Wexler, the expert, and as a kid, I was on Bozo the Clown, but they couldn't air my episode because I said shit 37 times.
Hi, I'm Alan Linick, and I play CEJ, the mundane. And I just got to know who died to make Derek Pfeiffer the coolest guy. What's that? Crashly died? Oh, okay.
All right, so where we left you all off, you were all standing in the hallway of the Braemar Community Center in Brora, Nebraska, the site of Barb Wexler's secret compound dedicated to blackmail and leverage of all kinds against the larger world. One of those leverage points is the Bondelgrob, which has escaped and is bringing all of its different hive mind buds back to Brora to merge up and presumably do more awful stuff. Into the mix of all of that, you had Susan had opened her little black book, went to a moment out of space and time, and met with the Council of X's, all of Susan's most powerful X's who heard her case. After fighting some hard negotiation, Susan was able to get them to agree to release the Exlers, all of Susan's supernatural exes, to face off against the Bondelgrob forces, giving her and the kids enough room to go confront Barb. The Exlers have agreed they will not kill any of the kids, nor Tori Pals. Anyone else is fair game. So 362 of Susan's exes have taken the field. Outside is utter calamity. Now, here is the little twist I'd like to do for today, if you all are up for it. As we know, a little while ago within the game, Shamanda hit some buttons in the security room and inadvertently started what we have determined is likely a self-destruct countdown.
Prove it, Tyler.
There are 20 minutes at this point left on the countdown. I am going to put a timer on.
No.
At 40 minutes to give you some room for, you know, narrative things, you know, to talk and things like that. But with your agreement, I would like to put a timer on the clock of 40 minutes. Aaron will be in charge of monitoring it. At the end of 40 minutes, the site is going to explode. If there is any reason that it's like I'm taking time to think about something or like anything like that, I'll call out or Aaron can call out and we'll pause the clock for that because I'm not trying to like bind you into. If I'm like, I actually need a second or we take a bathroom break or something like that, but we'll play it as outside of that, basically, if we're playing and moving forward, the clock is moving forward. How does that sound to folks?
Fair.
Okay.
Sounds riveting.
Sounds good to me.
Sounds fun.
I think it's totally fair unless it ends up hurting me in the end. Do you know what I mean?
All right. So am I hearing from you, Claire, that you're reserving the right to, after the fact, say it was a bad idea and that it shouldn't have happened?
Be like, that was bull crap, you know?
Whoa.
I'm sorry. I'm just really throwing around curse words today.
Save them for your spells, please.
So take a second here, gang. You are all healed up. You know the order of operations here. You need to, you know, broadly what you've decided to do over the last few days in game is that you need to get Susan's books back from Barb. A, to keep her from, because you suspect now, well, because Shamanda knows that Barb has the cipher to Susan's magic books. I don't think Shamanda has told anybody else about that. But so Barb can translate the magic books, that will give her full access and power to controlling the Bondelgrob. And that's obviously bad. So you want to get the books back in order to stop Barb, and also because you need the books to do the resurrection spell to bring Crashly back into her body. She is currently a ghost possessing an angel's sort of corporeal form that Chadriel wasn't using. So you need the books for that. And you need to get away before the site blows up or somehow stop the self-destruct sequence. And then presumably also ultimately stop the Bondelgrob. You know that it is seeking to merge all of the other cryptids and entities that it has merged with back into its original form, which, you know, Susan, will create kind of a very bad situation for everybody all over. Does that cover everything? Is there anything else?
I just want to check on how close we are to finding Barb. We can use our points to find her, and we elected to do that already, but we still haven't found her yet. Is that right?
You haven't spent the points yet, but you do have them and you can. Yeah. So you have 3 points. You, with the parts unknown move that we created, you needed 3 points to find Barb. You have 3 points. You can find Barb. So
great.
And what we have established is that the Braemar Community Center is very close. I think it's only, Claire, you can tell us, but I believe it is across the street from the Alice M. Farr Library.
Fully across the street. And I got to tell you, not even a busy street.
Mm. Wow. Yeah. So you all know, I mean, not to put, I think this is just random, but you do have to cross L Street to get to the Alice M. Farr Library. But once you've done that, you're there.
Yeah.
So, Aaron.
Yo.
Will you prepare for us a 40-minute timer?
42. Okay. 40's fine.
40.
Yeah.
I got it. It's ready to start. Wait, are we doing 40?
We're doing 40 minutes.
Great.
To represent the 20 minutes of time that your characters have.
Right.
Start.
Okay. Nice.
Great. All right.
And start.
You all find yourselves there in the Braemar Community Center in the hallway. You see the Exlers out fighting. It's a chaotic scene of violence, wanton and celebratory. But you see pretty quickly Mr. Demontail is kind of whipping through and creating a path and just going like, come on, move, motioning you towards the library. What do you all do?
I'm running after Mr. Demontails.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea. His guy looks cool. Yeah.
And for you kids, you are still don't quite have a ton of context for what's going on. You just saw Susan standing there. She opened the book, and then suddenly there was like a lot of fighting outside. So as you come out, this is kind of your first moment of seeing all of this cacophony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess as we're running, I'm going to try to do a quick catch up of like, okay, these are all my exes, the Exlers. They're here to fight for us.
What?
I had to make some deals. And honestly, I do not remember everyone here as like a fish flies by us.
What the heck?
I'm just going to run because like, I think that, yeah, I'm going to follow Susan and. Be like, whatever, wait. Susan, just like, let's get to safety.
Yeah, but are you going to explain, like, what's, like, isn't our job to stop monsters or whatever, blah, blah? Like, why? Yeah. What are all these extra monsters doing here?
They're on our side.
Susan, is that Greg Kinnear?
Oh my God.
As Greg Kinnear runs by, Shamanda pulls out a pair of roller skates using her last hold and puts it on and says, "Susan, I'll follow you to hell and back. Let's go."
Wait, I won't. Hold on. What?
Yes, you will.
Hey, Greg.
It just seems like if we could have, been befriending monsters this whole, have we been murdering?
CEJ, we literally don't have time.
It feels like we've been murdering. I thought they were like,
I put CEJ on my back like a backpack and we skate away.
Okay, good. Because this will give me more time to think.
Yeah. And CEJ, you watch Greg Kinnear turns and opens his mouth like extra wide. His tongue comes out and it unfolds. And from the bottom of the tongue, a hand comes out and it waves at you. And Susan.
Hey, I love you as good as it gets.
I missed that hand.
What does that mean, Susan, what does that mean?
Ew, what the hell?
Susan.
I just mean like, anyways. Let's find Barb. And do we need to do our points?
You spending the points?
Let's spend them.
Spend them points. Yeah. All right, ooh, you're at zero.
Tyler, I'm not a monster anymore, right? I'm back to just
you're
little old
You're back to normal. The healing kind of brought you back to your earlier state.
Little old Adam.
Great. So you are all there. You're spending your points. Yeah, the doors to the Alice M. Farr Library are right in front of you, and you know that's where Barb is.
Susan, we've been through so much, but right now I think this is the scariest thing we've ever done.
I think you're right. And I'm going to put my arm around Shamanda and open the doors.
As you open the doors, you see inside for you, Susan, it's doubly disconcerting because it looks exactly the way it did. I mean, what is your relationship to the library here in Barora?
I just loved it growing up. Just loved it.
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say you probably spent quite a bit of time here.
Okay. Well, I don't see you calling out any of the other kids, but yes, I did.
Well, and I would go so far as to say that probably part of the reason is because Barb had such a disdain for it. It was like one of the few safe spaces in Barora for you growing up. It was a space that could be yours that it wasn't Barb's. Barb always had other places she'd rather be and that other kids would rather be. So you had a very like cozy relationship with it that is sort of completely destroyed by the fact that as you're walking, you see that Barb has made this her base of operations. While it's still the interior is a library, it's also been sort of like a lot of books are stripped off the shelves and replaced with knickknacks. This has been converted into kind of a large, weird condo.
Ooh.
And that is off-putting, but not nearly as off-putting as the fact that the back wall of the library has been completely ripped off. It looks like something large and unhappy seems to have just gouged a hole into the wall and pulled it aside. And you see sort of pushing in almost so tightly that they're struggling to get in are all of these people with the sort of telltale sign of Bondelgrob merging. So there's inky black, like oily sheen passing over their faces, their mouths suddenly distorting and growing massive amounts of teeth. And they're just screaming, "You're not Susan!" as they're all trying to push in. And you see in front of you, Barb and Tori Pals there. Barb has just like a small, simple piece of wood that she is pointing and flicking and gouts of flame are shooting out from it. And Tori Pals just has basically the shelf from a library, one of the, like the library shelves, just like completely snapped off. And she's wielding it like a massive club, just clocking these people. And they're back to back. They look terribly unhappy to be forced into this position of mutual aid, and they're fighting as you enter in. What do you all do?
I pick up a thick tome, and I chuck it at Barb's head.
Okay, you're just throwing it straight at Barb. Great. Roll to kick some ass.
Hey, Barb, read any good short stories? Oh, shit. I rolled a 3.
Oh, no. Oh.
Is throwing this heavy book really awkward with me still on your back?
Babe, would you throw a book for me?
Yeah.
Master Blaster.
I think the issue is, so you get your ass kicked instead. I think what happens is these, as you do that, that is enough that Barb turns and is like, "What?" And in that moment of losing her focus, the horde breaks from the edge and some of the Zombelgrobs start charging forward. And running in, you find yourselves in a room with like I think at this point, like 10 of these Zomble grobs, and one of them just comes at you, Shamanda, and just punches you square in the face.
Oh no. Ow.
And you know what? It's not even a punch. It's a slap. It's an open-handed slap.
Can I try to take this hit instead?
Well, yeah, actually, yes, you can, because you can try to protect someone. So yes.
Yeah.
Roll plus tough.
Okay. Here I go.
Oh no. Aww.
Why'd you oh no.
Roll plus tough.
I'm tough. CJ? And I got an 8.
Oh. Great. Yeah, so you are going to take all of the harm that was going her way.
Yeah, I lean my face forward from Shamanda's back and just press my cheek against her cheek so that the only way to slap is to hit me instead.
Yeah, and this old woman that has been merged just wallops you in the side of the face and you take one harm.
Ah, old!
Oh.
And I backward skate away from her.
great. And what are the rest of you doing?
I kind of want to make a big entrance.
Okay.
To get everyone distracted. So I'm going to roll for that. Plus,
well,
cool.
First you need to say what the entrance is.
Oh, I get to say it first?
It's when you make a showy entrance into a dangerous situation, roll to see how effective it is.
Okay, so let's say I'm hanging back by the door watching all this happen, like I'm in the doorway, and I decide I want to redeem myself from that time in the old timeline in Paul's basement. So I'm going to try to do some handsprings into the room while I'm shouting like, hey, look at me. I don't like your boyfriend. Hey, because I don't remember the words to the song, but it's something like that. And I want them to look at me.
Okay. So you just do a series of gymnastics moves and bound into the room.
Yes, and I'm not great at it, but I'm... Yeah. But I have a lot of,
I have a sign that says go, Crashly, go.
Thank you. I got a 7.
Okay. And is that including, because I know that you are also angry currently. Is that correct?
Oh. So that, and then I guess it would be.
Looking at your sheet, you appear to have quite a few emotional conditions. Yeah.
I thought that those, I guess I thought that those were cured, but no. Those aren't
no,
cured.
Your physical ills. But your others, not so much.
So it's a 5.
Okay, great. Now, here's the one thing you could do. If you want to remove that condition modifier for this scene, you could act out in some way.
That's true.
Is a way that you can deal with the feels with yourself.
Let's see.
So examples of acting out might be lashing out physically or emotionally, causing a scene. I'm going to say the different, like causing a scene in an embarrassing way, not in a cool way.
Yeah.
Refusing to cooperate with your friends, telling a lie, just something okay. Generally shitty and teenager-y.
So I'm going to turn around before I do my flips. I'm going to turn around and I'm just going to moon the entire room full of people, but not out of anger. Like,
actually,
screw all of you. I can't believe you're making me do this, all you monsters. And then see EJ talking about, are we murdering? Like, I can't deal with that right now.
Look, I mean, actually,
butt,
think about
stinkers.
It.
I am.
Oh, that's an angel's butt.
Chadriel's butt.
Yeah.
And you all watch as this beautiful man just drops his like homemade trowel and flashes everybody. Okay, Crashly.
There's no hole. This is so weird.
That's canon. True.
Crashly, then you got a 7, so you get to pick one person or monster who will stop, watch, and listen to you until you finish talking.
This is an incredible power, Aaron.
I gotta pick Barb.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so yeah, Barb. Yeah. So you're just doing handstands and flips around. And honestly, Barb is watching you. Barb does not know who you are. So Barb is just like, oh
right, because I'm a hot guy.
Yeah. And Barb's like, oh.
Yeah.
and you know what it is? As you're doing it, Barb immediately is like, oh, are you Susan's friend? That's surprising. You're way too handsome.
Susan's more like a mentor to me. I'm not one of Susan's exes. Gross. Oh, I'm sure you agree.
I do. Yeah. What? It's so funny seeing you. And she's just sort of lightly sort of tossing flame with her little wand at some of the zombie grobs, but mostly is just looking at you. She's like twirling her hair and her high ponytail. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Claire? Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's got a high ponytail.
Yeah.
Pony, yeah.
And twirling. And she's just completely interested. seems to not be that bothered by what's going on.
Great. I think if she's distracted, I would love to get Tori Pals over to our side.
Okay.
So I guess in my mind, I would just pick, I picture like Susan, like getting back to back with her, like Barb was, and then scooting her over to the group. Like maybe, well, maybe doing some kick some ass or like protection moves, whatever you think that would be.
Yeah, I think that would be protect someone.
Okay, great.
Absolutely.
Okay, and let me see here. Good gosh almighty, our rolls today. I got 5. Would somebody be willing to help a Susan out?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, yep.
How?
How?
My name's Adam Miller. Here's what I'm going to do.
Oh, this better rhyme.
Uh-oh, I don't know how to rhyme. What are you trying to do again?
I'm just trying to get Tori over to us.
Okay.
By protecting her.
I'm going to fall down on the ground like, oh, Tori, my knee, I need your help. Acting.
Just to be clear, Tori is fighting a bunch of monsters. So it's not that Tori is unwilling to come over to you all. It's that there's a bunch of monsters that are fighting her. So
we kind of need to protect.
Yeah. So Adam Miller, is what you're doing is trying to, I mean, yeah, great. I roll to help out, Adam Miller.
I got you, Susan. Wink. I rolled, and do I add anything to it?
It's plus cool.
Yeah, I rolled a nade.
Yeah. You grant Susan advantage on her roll, but you're going to expose yourself to trouble or danger. So, Susan, go ahead and re-roll one of your dice.
I think I actually do hurt myself.
Oh, my God, I made it worse. I'm sorry. It's now a 4.
Okay. Oh. So on a 4, then on protect someone, you end up making things worse. I think this is a thing where Tori, I think really what it happens is pretty simple, is Tori turns and she's like, Susan, you all need to get out of here. You got to run. It's, and then just another wall just rips apart and you see just this very large, very, it is just a classic troll that is merged, just ripping the wall, and debris comes down. You see a large chunk of it just fall and land on Tori. She goes down hard. Adam Miller, you experience it coming down. You dodge and roll out of the way. You find yourself, I think everybody roll me a D6.
Just one?
Just one.
Yeah, I just need to know the number.
Ooh, 1.
Six. 5 1. For Claire.
6 for Jeff. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody who rolls odds is going to be in a group in an area with Adam Miller. Anybody who rolls evens is going to be, or I'm sorry, anybody who rolls evens is going to be with Adam Miller. Anybody who rolls odds is going to be with Susan.
Yeah.
I'm with Susan.
Team Susan.
Shamanda, Susan.
Who's with Adam? Anyone?
Nobody?
No. Wait, and Alan, did you roll for both Derek and CEJ?
Oh, that's fair.
Okay, so CEJ is with Susan.
Susan, yeah, and Derek.
And Derek is also with Susan.
Sorry, are you kidding me?
I rolled a 5 and a 1.
Adam, come over to us.
Why are you alone, you dummy?
Yeah, Adam, the problem for you, Adam, is you successfully, roll out of the way as this debris falls to the ground. It's very cool. You stand up and you realize you rolled towards this large troll that is just standing next to the wall and is just like and is reaching like a hand down to grab you with its big, oversized, overstuffed with teeth mouth.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's where you all find yourselves. What do you all do?
Oh, I'm going to kick some ass. I am so sick of this troll.
Okay.
Shamanda finds a drawer of those like card catalog things and is whipping them like cards, like sharply at people's throats. Cool. Like, phew, 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 phew.
Okay.
Phew.
I like that. Let me see here. Shamanda, then, I mean, yeah, you have ancient fighting arts. So when you use an old fashioned hand weapon, you inflict +1 harm and you get advantage whenever you roll to protect someone. I would say that a throwing card is absolutely an old fashioned hand weapon. So
developed by Dewey Decimal himself.
That's right. So you get to go ahead and so you are going to try to protect someone. Who are you trying to protect here?
I am going to protect sugar. Well, Adam's on the other side of the room. Like, there's no way to get near him. He's got to fight for himself, or we're all kind of huddled together.
I mean, you're using like a ranged weapon, right? So you could definitely protect him by just keeping back the thing that is going after him, which is, again, this like 20-foot tall Roldul Grob.
And it's got limbs and joints and things, I'm presuming. Yeah. So yeah. I'm going for those weak points then.
Okay. There. The other one, you know, would obviously be anybody immediately around you. And then separate from these two groups is also Tory Pals and Barb are also sort of, well, Barb is kind of near you all. Tory Pal is a little further away. Yeah.
But Barb is still mesmerized by Crashly's flips.
Yeah.
We need the numbers. We need Adam because he's all juiced now. So I'm going to go for the troll. Great.
Okay, so roll plus tough. You get advantage on this as you whip these cards out.
Okay, so the first one was a 5. Second one was an 8.
Great. So an 8 then is a mixed success. So that means you protect them okay, but you suffer some or all harm that they were going to get. In this instance, that doesn't really quite count. I'm just going to rule this as like you do harm onto this troll Dulgrob. So it's going to take 2 harm from your card plus your specific abilities. It is a big, beefy thing. So it doesn't look significantly cowed, but it is more harm than it had taken otherwise. It helps, I guess, is what I would say. CEJ slash Derek, what are the two of them doing?
CEJ is still riding Shamanda's back.
Mm-hmm.
But he's staring at, I feel like I can't stop taking my eyes off of the monsters and seeing them all like talking and stuff and being like, God, they're like basically people. what are we doing? And Derek's just swinging around his giant flaming sword and having a time of his life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like the experience you're having is even made worse because CEJ, you have the sight.
The sight.
So you see, like, because you can see the invisible, especially spirits and magical influences. You can see this weird thing because these people have been merged with the Bondul Grob, right? The Bondul Grob is a hive mind. It has taken them over. They're not dead, but they are not themselves either. And you can see their souls distorted and sort of bubbled out of their bodies as though there's not enough space for their spirit to exist in the form that was granted to it.
But they're still in there?
Yeah. And they look, so you are just seeing, in this sense, you just see they all have this distorted, contorted face of like absolute torture and pain as they're severed from themselves.
Susan, we can't hurt these things. We have to help them.
Okay. I'm asking, this is Claire, and could we pause?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
1 second.
Paused.
Because this actually is a little confusing to me now, too. Like, did Susan know that?
You tell me. I think it's plausible that she did. It's also plausible that she didn't.
Yeah. So I think what I'm trying to figure out is, like, would it be possible for them, and maybe I could roll, like, I've read about this sort of thing or something on this, would it be possible to separate the two, or are we looking at a mercy kill situation?
So I think the way that I would say that is, based on what we know from what has happened, which is, so Susan created the Bondul Grob, right? With the best of intentions, but the Bondul Grob is essentially like an invasive species that decimated the monster hunting population in the late 80s, early 90s. So what we know is that Susan was able to figure out a way to stop the Bondul Grob from budding. Obviously, Barb has rolled that back and allowed it to start propagating again. Susan, obviously, I feel like if Susan could have figured out a way to undo what the Bondul Grob does, she would have done that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it makes sense to me that likely you were not able to figure out how to undo it before. That's not to say that you could not now, but up until this point in your like research and everything, I think if you found a way to do it, you didn't have the means of doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
maybe you do now, or maybe there's a way for you to get those means now. But it just sort of intuitively makes sense to me of like, if you could have done it, you would have done it. You're not a monster. So up until this point, your strategy has always been mercy kill is the only way to go. If you change, you change.
I think it's almost too dark for me, and other people can jump in. I think it's almost too dark for me to find out that there would be a way to. I don't know.
It's, well, and so what I would say by that is like, in the same way of like time travel is possible, right? In like real life. But the way to do time travel is to fly at the speed of light and allow, you know, quantum mechanics to engage or to like go. It's like, yeah, it being possible is not the same thing as it being plausible or accessible. So it could be a thing that it's like, yeah, there's a, I have a hypothesis of how to do it, but I've never been able to successfully do it. You know, something like that is fine with me. Like, I would never be like, oh, Susan has always known how to do it and just didn't give a shit. Like, right, I agree with you. I don't think that that's the vibe at all.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to say mercy kill if everyone's okay with that. Otherwise, it just gets a little sad for me. Is that okay? Alan, I know it's.
Yeah.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's tough.
It is tough. This is a little, oh shit. This is kind of a new information.
Yeah.
My mind, with these bundle grabs, it's more like they're already dead, like zombie-like.
Yeah.
It's like a bacteria that's taken over or a parasite.
Like a fungus. Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be like Beauty and the Beast where everyone just turns back into their regular forms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And to be clear, I was not saying that at all either. Yeah.
I didn't think that at all. I just was like, I was just starting to be like, okay, if we started down this road, that has a lot of.
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
Implications.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just go for mercy kill because I think my little heart can't handle much else.
Great. So, what Susan knows then is that, I assume probably what CEJ is telling you isn't a surprise. It like fits within the metaphysics of how you would imagine things generally work, which is like these people aren't dying, so their spirits can't really move on.
Yep.
But like also once like their entire memory and everything is merged into the hive mind. So it's sort of that thing of like there is a bit of a dualism between soul and body, and they're not necessarily the same thing. So like the part that makes them a person has been merged and is sort of gone. So it's sort of giving them rest as opposed to giving them restoration.
Yeah. And Fleur will take care of them too.
That's right.
That's true. Oh, that's true. Aww. Okay.
Hungry, so hungry Fleur. In death, there is Fleur.
Yeah. Also, should we start the timer?
I was just going to say, start it back up and I'll yell.
And what are we at timer wise?
18:29.
Okay.
Okay. Great. And start.
So I am going to yell to. CEJ, like, we just have to release their spirits, bud. I know, but we have to let them go. And I'm trying to decide if I want to focus on this troll. Oh, because Adam's in danger. So yes, I want to focus on this troll. And I am going to fly through the air with my blessed knife and start calling Cheryl's the third's name.
Interesting. Okay, so yeah, I guess you're right that the time for your wings are still activated.
Oh, I just meant jump through the air in mean that in like a...
climbing to a top of a bookshelf and then drifting beautifully over to...
Absolutely. Mm. You're going to parkour across the room.
Awesome.
Okay, and so you're calling to Cheryl the third?
Oh, this seems like a Cheryl job for sure.
Okay, great. So I think go ahead and roll to manipulate someone.
To manipulate someone.
So that'll be plus charm.
Oh my gosh, 5.
Okay, so on a miss, your approach is completely wrong. You're going to make a bad impression on Cheryl the third, and the problem will get worse. I think in this, I mean, Alan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, so Susan, what are you calling out to Cheryl? You see Cheryl in the distance, you call to Cheryl to try to get her attention. What do you say?
Come trick this troll.
What troll?
The troll in front of me.
There's a troll.
Oh, are you trying to kill me?
No, are you trying to kill me?
No.
Because I have a troll over here.
What troll?
The one behind me.
There's no... There...
Oh, you can't see it because of the way I'm standing.
All right, I'll kill the troll.
Oh, gosh.
No, come over here. I'll show it to you.
And in that time, while you're distracted, the troll reaches down and grabs Adam Miller.
Adam Miller,
you are getting lifted up in the air, your hand there. And Barb goes like, oh, yep, definitely time to go. Come on, big man. Why don't we go? I've got a little escape hatcheroonie over here. Come on,
Shemanda,
let's go.
Throws a card at Barb's wrist.
Oh, the wrist.
Roll to kick some ass.
Oh, god damn it. Okay, 5.
I want to help.
I'm going to help out.
Okay, yeah.
How are you helping her throw at the wrist?
I am on wheels.
well, I still have my blessed. I still have my blessed knife, so I am going to throw my knife.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So roll to help out, then, Susan.
Oh my god.
Oh no!
It doesn't work. It's a two.
Can I burn a luck, or is it too late for that?
No. Yeah, you can burn a luck.
Cool. That's my last one.
Oh no.
Oh. Oh shit! Oh, okay. Don't do that.
If you
become unlucky for life,
yeah,
you become CEJ.
Basically, if you burn all of your luck. Also, I realized, Rashaan, I think
I'm stopping the timer.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. The one thing, looking at it, I think we maybe have been going because 7 out of 7 originally meant you had full luck.
I've been going the opposite way.
Okay, but it started at 7 out of 7, so I think at some point you went down, and then at some point we started going back up.
Oh.
So I think you were probably more at, like, 4 or 3 luck.
Mm. Okay, I'll say 3, and okay. I'll just...
So you definitely have luck to spend. What? But yes, for everybody's benefit.
Yeah.
Once your luck is spent, you are doomed.
Oh.
Basically, anytime anything that could go wrong will go wrong. In the same way that when you're unstable, I can introduce harm at any time. At any time when your luck is gone, I can basically make the effects of a bad roll happen at any point. Just anytime, it's just like life is out to get you until you retire from the character from it. It's basically like you're going to be just constantly getting fucked with by fate and the universe because you've... Mm. You've burned all of your, you know, sort of the universe's goodwill. Okay, so.
Timer starting?
Okay, yes, begin.
3, 2, 1, start. Okay.
Rashaan, you're burning a luck for your kick some ass.
Yes.
Okay, so that means your kick some ass is going to be a complete success. On a 10 plus, you inflict harm on each other, and you pick one from below. You get to do extra harm to her. You get advantage on your next roll. You do extra harm. You take less harm. You can force her where you want, or you can take something from her.
I'm going to go extra harm to bend Barb's wrist like the... I want her whole wrist to, like, spin around like a...
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh.
So she can't cast spells.
Mm. Yeah. So then, well, that's not quite how spells work, but yes. Oh. So you are doing a total of 3 harm then.
Yes.
Because we decided that the card is a 1 harm weapon.
Whoa. Mm.
So
how much life does Barb have?
3 harm to Barb. I don't have to tell you, and I'm not going to.
Ooh.
Dang.
Sassy.
But I will say, like, while I am very into following the fiction on this, also, this game does have, like, harm points and stuff. So you don't get to just be like, I beat the bad guy and then have it beat the bad guy. You know, there's some mechanics to it. So you have reduced Barb's health. She snaps out and cries as her hand, like a deep cut in it, and you see some tendons just like give, and her hand goes limp. Her other hand is still active. She turns, she targets you, and this is because, you know, you're kicking some ass, you inflict harm on each other. Here's how it works.
Mm.
Shamanda, I need you to roll plus sharp as Barb uses her power of belittlement.
Oh, no.
And as Shamanda does this, she goes, thank God I never had a sister. She could have ended up like you.
Oh!
And I rolled plus sharp. That's going to be an 8.
Okay. So on an 8, that's a mixed success. With belittlement, she's going to throw you off. You'll have disadvantage on your next roll against Barb. As she I need you to tell us how she negs you back and draws attention to a part of yourself. Draws attention to a part of yourself that you are sensitive about.
Mm.
Actually, I have a pitch if you want it.
Please belittle me.
I think what she says is like, really? I would think that maybe the reason that you don't have a sister is because after you, your parents didn't want to try again.
Oh,
damn.
Jesus.
And then Shamanda is like wobbling on her skates like, oh, no. Oh, whoa, whoa.
So just know that the next time you roll against Barb, you'll have disadvantage. What are you doing, Adam Miller, as this troll is picking you up and going like,
oh, yeah, two can play the big boy game.
Ooh.
Cracking open a Sprite.
Uh-oh.
Okay, uh-oh. Great. Yeah, roll for ego transformation, roll plus weird.
By God, by God.
is an eight.
Okay, so the way I tweaked this, the language on this a little bit, just to make it a little bit more clean. So you're doing big and burly, correct?
Yes, please.
Okay, you are going to get one plus one armor, plus one harm on all attacks, and advantage on tough rolls, but disadvantage on sharp and charm rolls. Additionally, you are going to have to pick one side effect from the following. Either you can't control when the transformation ends. When the transformation ends, you won't remember what happened, or you release your inhibitions.
I get to pick?
You get to pick.
Well, let's just say I'm going to feel the rain on my skin.
Yes.
Because I'm releasing my inhibitions.
Okay, nasty.
All right, great. So you all watch as Adam
Only
Miller
you can let it in.
Downs that sprite. I thought about trying to make the whole move, everything fit within the lyrics, and I was like, yes. It's too silly. Yeah, Adam Miller, you become, again, this sort of abomination. Your elbows snap back.
We'll call him the Adomination.
You become the Adomination, and your elbows snap the wrong way. You become big, just thick with muscle. Your hair grows to like a, or shrinks to a small little patch at the top of your head.
That's right.
You're hideous in form, but you're so, so strong. What are you doing in this moment?
I'm going to try to like snap my arms and grab this guy's head and just twist it.
Damn. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, so roll to kick some ass, and you have advantage on that roll.
Yes. Okay, the first one is an 11, but I'm going to roll again, because why not?
Oh, damn.
Now, the other one was a 3.
Okay, yeah, so the 11 will do
keep
it.
It is truly snake eyes plus my one tough.
You get to do extra harm, take less harm, force it where you want, take something from it, or have advantage.
I mean, I want to take its head. Is that possible?
Yeah, you know what? Yes. I will say yes.
Oop, that is.
Oh, no.
We've got 10 minutes. We're dead. Or 5 minutes.
You have 5 minutes left
in the game
for the countdown. So that is a Barb Wexler is like 5 minutes. Barb Wexler says 5 minutes is the countdown going over. And Barb goes like, oh, no, we have to go, and grabs on Crash Reel's hand and starts to pull him with her, you know, one good hand away.
Ooh.
Okay.
Adam Miller, you're doing extra harm, so you're going to do a total of 3 harm then?
Yeah.
Or no, you're trying to take something from it. You're taking its head. So you're doing 2 harm, and you're taking its head. Its
Could
head just
I...
pops. Oh, go ahead.
Could I throw the head at Barb?
Yeah.
Go bowling.
Yeah, you can try. Yeah. You can do it to try to knock her down, sure.
Cool.
The more troubling thing is, as you pull it up, taking its head doesn't seem to have stopped the troll from moving around. It stumbles a little bit as it loses its facility for sight, sound, and taste, but it seems to be able to keep going, and you still are gripped in its hand.
Mm-hmm.
You toss the head at Barb, so go ahead and I guess roll to kick some ass.
Yeah, yelling, not Susan. Do I roll? Is this double or advantage? I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. They're both 9, so.
Okay, yeah, so you are going to bop Barb. She's going to go down. She'll take 1 harm from that, from the head, but you get crushed a little bit by the troll. So you are going to take 2 harm from the troll.
This guy's strong.
And
bruised.
Barb is down to 3. Great. Oh.
Down to 3?
Oh,
I didn't say that.
Huh? Yeah, you did.
I heard it. No.
Now, here, will you pause the timer for 1 second here, okay, gang? I have to check in with you. I'm your biggest fan as the keeper.
Yay.
Have you gotten closer to any of your actual objectives? Or are you just fighting things?
I think Crashly has gotten closer because Crashly is about to get dragged to presumably where the books are.
Presumably. That is fair. Yes. And you have 5 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm feeling. I'm like tempted. Like, are the books not on Barb? Because I'm like, if this place blows up and we're out of here,
the books are gone
go
forever.
Too. So at least Barb can't use them.
But Crashly can never.
But Crashly is stuck in there.
I mean, there's consequences in life. So but, that's
oh,
true.
Oh, okay. Oh, now I remember a piece of lore that Shamanda needs to tell everybody.
Oh,
sorry. Dragline deciphered all of the codes, so it doesn't even matter if Barb has the books.
Let's do this. Let's keep the timer where it's at. Let's go back to a moment slightly before you guys left, because I feel like everybody might have feelings about this and what it implies. So as you were preparing to make your way across to the library, Shamanda stops you all and she says,
"Everyone, I know that I have been terrible this whole time, and I've been emotionally unstable and just toying with people's hearts and stuff, and it's just I was in a bad place, and I admit to that, and I did something really bad. I had Dragline get close to Barb, and she was able to decipher the book, so she may not even have the book. She may have a copy of them somewhere else in the world."
Well, and actually that's not quite I think what we established is that you had Dragline compile a list of everybody around you's weaknesses so that you could exploit them, including Dragline figuring out this cipher to Susan's books before Barb stole them.
What is
and
that
I don't
mean?
Know how my voice changed that I sounded like the keeper in that moment, but that's exactly what happened.
Like basically it's your character, you can do what you want, but at least what we said before was essentially that Dragline got dirt on everybody for you in case they ever crossed you.
What?
Mm-hmm. So and like I said, I've been evil and I apologize for that. You were saying, Crashly?
Okay, shut up. Does that mean that we don't need the books to like get my body back? We don't need the books? Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if we get a hold of Dragline, we... Oh, God, I feel horrible. I feel like we could have avoided so much.
Well, we still want to get the books away from Barb, right? That still matters, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, what did you write about me? Or what?
I wrote about how you're not actually banned from Lids. I did that.
What? Wait, what?
We gotta go.
No. Wait, wait a second. What's my weakness? What's my dirt?
I want to establish. So are we learning that Shamanda is the one who had, because one thing we do know is that even in an angel's space that Adam could not go into a Lids.
Yeah.
Are we learning that Shamanda actually stripped Adam Miller of his ability to go to a Lids, and that it was not Lids Corporate that did it?
This is unconscionable.
I don't think you understand how powerful Whoopi Goldberg is.
Oh, I kind of guess.
I don't think you understand how sad I am.
Shamanda, just because he's your ex, you can't do that to people. You can't do that to people.
Susan, how do you treat your exes?
Shamanda, you never know when your exes could come in handy, and they're just like buzzing around our heads because we're just before we go in, right?
Oh, I'm glad I could be handy. Cool. Awesome. Let's do this, okay?
Gosh, I have so much to learn about relationships.
Kids, there are so many hurt feelings here. There are so many hurt feelings.
I'm actually feeling pretty okay.
I'm going to do. What we need to focus on, at least we were all cool enough to be in the Book of Bad Things. Now, that's kind of fun. You know? No squares here.
What do you say about Susan?
Well, mine was the deciphering thing, remember? There's no need to dig anymore. and away we go.
Wait, and what the fuck? What the heck? Sorry, Susan. Whoa. Sorry, Susan. Sorry, Susan.
Whoa. Wow. I do the timeout signal over my head, like the sideways one hand into the other hand, and I yell at all of the Zomble Grobs and the exes, and I'm like, timeout!
As CEJ or as Derek Turkey?
As CEJ.
Oh, okay.
Crashly, there is never room for that.
Except at Bozo the Clown, right?
Yeah, we YouTubed it.
No. Hey,
I'm sorry. I don't get this reference. Did you guys have a YouTube party?
Well, Shamanda was there, so it wasn't just the two of us.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go kill my sister.
Wait, what was that? Hold on. Wait, what was that, Adam?
Miss Wexler, I'll follow you to hell and back. Let's go.
And Tyler, can I ask something? Yes. So we're down to 5 minutes. What if we as a group decide to burn two of them by doing dream work makes the teamwork makes the dream work, where we all say what we're doing in that 2 minutes?
I was going to suggest just the very same thing. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, what if I just...
We do have a move in which when more than one of you attempt to help each other out, we just roll and we can kind of go over instead of doing an individual move thing, we can do sort of a group melange.
So then we cut this timer down to 4 minutes from 8 minutes.
You know what? I think in this moment, I don't need you. I don't need to take extra time from it. I think we pick the timer up and we just go.
Okay.
So have the timer going while we're all saying what we're doing.
That was what I was going to propose.
That seems like it'll take a lot of time. I just feel the idea.
All five of us going around and see what we're saying is going to be a problem.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then yes. Yeah. I'm happy to.
So we'll do that with the timer off and then we'll start the timer again with less time on it.
Great.
Essentially. Yeah.
Great. So let's see. What is the main objective that you are looking to achieve here?
Get the books.
Yeah.
Trying to get the books from Barb. Out. Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, all of our objectives, get the books, get Tori, get out.
Yeah. I'm going to let you do one of, you get to pick one and you can do it. And then if you want to do it again, we can pick another objective and then.
Gorge.
So yeah. On.
Great.
We need those books.
Yeah, we need the books.
So the goal is so currently you want to try to do teamwork makes the dream work to get the books from Barb. Is this correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And just so I can be 100% clear, we still need to get them from Barb. Like, turns out maybe we didn't need them, but we still want Barb to not have them. Right. That's still important. Okay, yeah. Great.
You do need them. It sounds like maybe what you all invented was that Dragline also has a copy of them, which is fine with me, but that hasn't explicitly been said or anything.
Okay.
Okay.
It was Dragline deciphered the books. That's what Dragline did. If you want to say that she also made a copy of them, that's fine with me. I'm down for that. But that hasn't been said by anybody.
She made
yet.
Them ready to use for someone other than Susan, basically.
She did
by deciphering them.
But that's not the same thing. That's not in and of itself the same thing as having.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Broke my cipher. She barely did anything.
Yeah. Barely anything.
Barely nothing at all. Okay. Yeah. So, you were trying to get the books. You know what? Then I'm going to say, here's the question. Mm-hmm. Has everything that you have been currently doing for the last few minutes since you left the library, has this all been a long con to get Barb into a position to get the books? Or is this you see a moment and you take the moment?
I think we're going to see him. What do people think? My gut was see a moment and take a moment here.
Yeah, we're not planners.
I mean,
yeah.
Crashly had an idea once she saw that. I mean, it wasn't really planned. Crashly had the idea once she saw that Barb was attracted to the body to trick her. But certainly wasn't like a long con in terms of like an Ocean's 11 situation where we all knew what was going on.
Great. Bless. Then I'm going to say that this is going to, everybody is going to roll plus cool.
Okay.
God
damn it. No, my coolers.
And then just let me know.
I got a 5.
7 for Claire.
12. No, 11.
9.
And then Alan, do you have to roll for both characters?
Indeed.
Oh, I guess so. 9 for CJ.
Actually, I'm going to do that thing where you stand next to your friend and like whip your leg up and kick them in the butt. I'm going to do that to Shamanda. And be like, that's for lying. And that's my acting out to try to get rid of my anger. So I got an 8.
Okay, Shamanda, you're going to take 1 harm.
Gladly.
Whoa. Ooh. A swift kick to the ass.
Yeah, it is a swift kick from an adult man.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, so.
I had a 7.
Okay, so I heard Aaron had an 8. Jeff had a 7. Mm-hmm. Rashawn had.
11.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Susan had.
7.
Claire had 7. Alan, what did your characters have?
My first roll was a 9 and the second was a 3. So I'm going to go Derek 9, CEJ 3.
Mm. Of course. CEJ definitely. Well,
so you actually have Derek Pfeiffer has, you have plus 2 for both character.
The nine is counted.
Oh, I'm
so sorry. So 9 and 5, I guess.
9 and 5. Okay, cool.
9 to 5.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the way that this works. We have not use this move very much, so this is exciting to sort of unleash. I think this is a good moment for it. We're going to start with our failures, then we'll move on to mixed successes and then complete successes. If there are more mixed successes than failures, you overcome the obstacles. If anyone rolls a complete success, then the club does overcome the obstacle.
Yes, Rashawn did that.
So we know at the end of the day that ultimately, not alone, but through no small part, that Shamanda ensures that you successfully get the books from Bar.
Wow.
However, let us start with our failures. On a miss, CEJ, you run into real trouble. In this moment, what happens to you? Describe what happens to us as you find yourself experiencing real trouble, trouble that likely the others will have to use some of their time to help you get out of.
I think my ankle gets grabbed by a Zomblegrob, and I get pulled off of Shamanda's back, and I just kind of like face plant into the ground. And I do that thing where like I'm clawing at the dirt, but I'm getting dragged backwards, and I'm like,
yeah, there's deep gouges in the very thin carpet that's on the floor of the library.
Yeah.
Yes, that happens. You get starting to pulled towards the entrance, the sort of hole gouged in the wall of the library, getting pulled towards there. Claire, Susan has, so that's what happens to CEJ. Susan,
like, I'm like, someone who is an Adam, help.
Susan, what do you do?
I'm not Adam.
Okay, and so CEJ's getting pulled away by Bondelgrobs?
Yep, by Bondelgrob zombies.
Okay, so here are the two things I thought of possibly doing is opening my third eye to find the exact location of the book.
Okay.
Or cutting myself somewhat deeply to call the Bondelgrobs towards me and
either
distracting
of those
them
very
all.
Cool. I'm fine with either.
Okay. I think just to make sure the kids can for sure get there with like no problems except for Barb, I'm going to do the cut thing so they're not endangered. The Bondelgrobs focused on me.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I just slam my knife into my leg.
Oh,
ew.
Man.
Thigh part or calf part?
thigh. Thank you.
Careful of your injuries.
Susan, you stab in. Ooh. The room goes still as all of these heads turn and just are like, Susan? And you can see, the rest of you see, like, it's disconcerting on a lot of levels because when Susan stabs in to her thigh, you can see everything that is a Bondelgrob winces at the same moment as though it is a little bit experiencing that same sense of pain. And as you realize that the connection that Susan has to the Bondelgrob runs to a deeper level than maybe you had previously realized.
Mm-hmm.
And Susan, when you do that, they just all scream out like, no, no one hurt Susan. And they all are rushing to you.
Okay. And I'm going to say to them, I'm going to be like, Barb tried to fool you all. She's got to go.
Oh,
great. So you are. Oh, and this is perfect because on a mixed success and teamwork makes the dream work, something awkward happens. So describe the awkwardness that now occurs.
I think there's like a pool of blood at my. Is this what you mean? Tell me if this is just disgusting. And Jeff, I swear to God, if you do a sound effect, we're done. I have a pool of blood by my legs and the Bondelgrobs just like start like it up.
I will, but I'll talk to Tyler later.
Yeah, we'll put it in post. Don't worry, audience. We're not putting it in post. Yeah. So as you're saying that and you're trying to convince these Bondelgrob, well, you're trying to convince the Bondelgrob through, you know, all of these buds to of the necessity of this. They're just, it's like a bunch of little kittens just start lapping up. Adam Miller, you feel the troll get down on all fours and start to crawl forward for its, you know, mother's milk. And it's your turn, actually, Adam Miller. What do you do?
So, you know, right now my inhibitions are released. How does that affect me in this moment?
You tell me.
I think
I guess like what is the way that I would suggest that's best to look at this is like when you have a total failure, you won't remember what happened. You can't stop. You can't turn the transformation off and your inhibitions release, which is essentially you become an alter ego. So you're like halfway towards becoming an alter ego.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like in the same way that Hyde is very venial and Dr. Jekyll is very, you know, prim and proper. It's like, what would Adam Miller maybe have an impulse to do, but not do? You don't have the impulse to not do it.
I think probably kick some ass.
I think that makes sense.
I think it's just like, yeah, tough. And like, you know, right now I'm so focused on this whole lids thing that I found out about. So that's why I've been ripping heads off.
Great. Yeah. So you're just going on a head
looking
ripping.
Looking for hats?
I call it flipping lids.
Yeah. Great. Adam Miller, you just start going around just completely annihilating. A little bit CGI from your perspective. He's just murdering a ton of people. We know that it's in the bet. Like, there's nothing better that can be done.
I'm a hero.
Everything.
I'm a hero. I'm
yeah.
A hero.
But it is. There is a certain amount of glee that is taking place.
Yeah, it's not good.
Adam Miller, however, something awkward happens to you as well. What is awkward about this moment for you?
Gosh. I think I put a head on my head. and I think everyone sees me, and I try to play it off.
Oh my god.
Like, a lid for my lid.
It does not land well at all. Nobody finds it funny. Nobody finds it
charming. My lid! I start like when you repeat a joke but louder. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I'm pointing at it. I'm like, the head is the lid. Am I right?
Derek starts laughing.
Derek.
Shamanda, how does when you see that, what does Adam Miller see on your face when he looks over and sees you looking at him wearing a head on his head?
Shamanda, she is an African-American woman, but her face has gone pale.
Yeah, and Adam, that's going to stick with you.
She's lost all color and,
gosh, you know.
I think you take an emotional condition from that.
Yeah, I was going to say I even may end the transformation.
Oh shit! Yeah,
yeah. I can't hold on to that.
Okay, great. Yeah, you fizzle back to normal. Which of the emotional conditions do you take?
God. I wish I could say guilty, but I think it's mostly embarrassed.
Yeah, absolutely. Embarrassed. Yeah.
The
so
head's
you
still on your little head. Yeah.
And God! I turned back into human. The head just like is so much bigger.
Yeah. Because it's a troll. Oh. It's the troll,
or not the troll head. It's another big one though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I threw the troll head. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. It just like settles on top of your head with this gross little squish, and your ego transformation ends. You are back to. Normal Adam Miller. We are then going to move over, but
lid on my lid.
The lid on your lid. We move forward through time and space. Aaron Crashly had a mixed success here. What is Crashly doing in this moment as you're trying to get the book?
Yeah. So I think I was being pulled by Barb.
Mm-hmm. You see Barb pulling you towards what looks to be like where a rug has been moved and it looks like there is a trap door in the floor.
Okay. So I think I'm going to say like, because I'm still kind of have rapport with her because she's pulling me. So I think it's like, yeah, remember when I said it would be like so gross if I was Susan's ex? So like, I just want to make sure she can't get the books. You know what I'm? She's always like books, books, books. And I'm like, shut up. And anyway, do you have them on you or are they in that dumb hole so I can just like make sure she doesn't get them?
And. Nope. She looks over at you and smiles and then pats. She has like a purse. Claire, can you describe the kind of purse that Barb would have?
Oh, and is Barb still dressed as me? How hurtful is this about to be?
Yeah, Barb is dressed as
me. Because she carries
you.
A Kathy purse. Y'all remember Kathy? Okay,
Chocolate?
No, isn't. I'll look this up later, but that was a popular purse in Nebraska in the 2000s.
Wait, a Kathy purse?
Yeah, let me look it up. Do I have it wrong?
I've never heard.
You all have to look at Kathy V. Zandland purse. These were so popular.
Oh, a Kathy Van Zeeland purse.
We just call them Kathys.
I got to see this.
These are hideous.
Oh, yeah.
Those were so
expensive.
Mama
yeah. Mia.
So wow. She would carry that, but she's like making fun of me.
Right.
So it's just like what I can only call like.
Wow.
A tragic black briefcase that I clearly got from like the Aurora thrift store that has a strap on it. Shout out to the Aurora thrift store. They have great deals for everybody all the time. And if you go on the first weekend of the month, you can fill a bag for $1. But this was not one of their better purses. I don't want people to feel like I'm making fun of them.
Yeah.
But it's a tragic purse.
Okay. Yeah. Barb pats that and says, I always keep them close. They're my power now, you know.
I'm going to grab the bag.
Something awkward happens, though, in this moment to you, Crashly. What is it?
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay. So, jeez, Louise. I'm going to grab the bag. When I grab the bag, my hand, like, the back of my hand just, like, brushes the side of Barb's boob. Like, not in a sexual way, but in a way that just, like, could happen to anyone, but it's so freaking awkward and uncomfortable. And I'm just like, oh, like, because Crash is like, oh, girl, that's what the side of an adult boob feels like. That's weird. Like, it, there's nothing creepy about it. It's just like, oh, so freaking awkward. Like, and I don't even know if Barb noticed, but
Barb
I did.
Barb noticed for sure. You can see on Barb's face that she noticed.
Yeah, it's awkward. Yeah. And I'm like, sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
So you have found out where the books are, is right?
Yeah. That's, and I grabbed the bag.
So you're grabbing the bag from her?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay, great. So as this is all happening, Derek, you see that Crashly reaching over and grabbing the purse. You obviously heard this exchange with your fantastic superhuman hearing. What do you do in this moment?
I mean, is Crashly in immediate danger?
No.
Can I see? Oh, okay.
I mean, no more so than the rest of you. She's walking forward with Barb.
So I just go, hey, Crashly, do you need help?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Help. Yep.
What is it that you need?
Just, Barb's trying to get these books into the hole and I was trying to trick her. And like now I need to, you to grab the bag of books because those are Susan's books. And also in that hole, there's an escape. So we probably don't want her to go in there, but
Barb at this point would be like, Barb would definitely at this point be like, excuse me, what? And turning,
but I'm already grabbing the books.
So, you are grabbing the bag. Yeah.
Yeah.
I am going to rush over and try to wrench the bag of books free.
Okay.
And
yeah, I mean, we know that you're successful at it. You have mixed success there. Something awkward happens to you as well. What happens as
what happens? I think on the way running over, I spot one of the zombie grobs was turned in the movie theater and it is like haphazardly holding a bag of popcorn and a few of the corn kernels have fallen out and hit the ground. So I feel compelled to stop and like peck at the ground for a few seconds.
Absolutely. Yeah. As your turkey self takes over for that one moment, you pull up a few kernels.
So yeah, I'm like running over. And I'm like, I'm on my way. Ooh, I got it. Okay, I'm just gonna. I'm gonna get one more of these, and then I'm gonna.
He laughed at my joke.
As you all realize that something is deeply off about Derek Feather.
He's from Canada.
Yeah, so Derek runs over. Derek and Crashly are fighting with Barb for the bag, struggling with them. Shamanda. In this moment, what do you do? We know on a 10 plus, on a full success, you are going to impress everyone present.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Describe
hell yeah,
girl. How it happens. Describe what you do to successfully get these books away from Barb.
In all of the chaos and the shame of admitting to her friends that she's just been a real bitch, Shamanda climbs like a kind of a Beauty and the Beast, like a bell ladder, you know, those ones that like slide across the books. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She climbs to the top, seeing all of this, the chaos that's going on, all the boyfriends fighting, all the bondle grobs and the like, and sees Barb down there tug of warring with her friends. And Shamanda, as much as she's been training, she's been doing lots of backflips. So she like goes to the top. Stands up kind of like with her arms out and just does a backflip and hopes to land on Barb.
Dang.
I mean, yeah.
You splatter her out and her keys fall out of her.
Splatter?
And it could be a getaway car. Maybe a 95 Nissan Quest GXE. It's a van.
Yeah.
It could fit everybody.
Yeah. I mean, there is no rolling for this because this is, you know, we already know you did it. So, yeah, you are you squishing Barb? Is that?
Yeah,
is that...
basically just coming down with my big fat ass and just kind of stomping her with my butt.
And
hell yeah.
How much harm does butt do?
Yeah, well, right. No, the question I have is, are you killing Barb with this, or are you just incapacitating her?
Careful.
If I do...
Let me say, I think if you just keep her there, she's going to blow up from her own thing, so you do not have to carry the weight of killing someone.
My okay, God.
So, all right, so I...
What do you mean? I thought that was helpful.
You're a proponent of leaving Barb in a building that's going to blow up?
100%.
Shamanda hears that conversation going on and jumps down and grapples on Barb and then hog ties her.
Okay, great.
Like a hog.
Yeah.
Very much like a hog.
Yeah, you as you're coming down, you're just sort of ripping strips off your own shirts and clothes, and quickly you have sort of enough that you are able to pull her in. I mean, Barb is used to...
Restraints.
Yeah, Barb is used to Shibari, so it's not like she's super unhappy about it, but she is there. Yeah, you do that. You get her restrained.
And I dig into her pockets and I jingle out some keys and I say, Barb, in any other time and place, I would have crushed you with my ass, but I'm going to let you blow up because of your own mistakes. Jeez. Because everybody's got to blow up from time to time.
She spits at you.
Oh. I catch it in my mouth and I hawk it back at her.
Oh. Yeah. Classic spit in my mouth maneuver.
Yeah. And Barb just says, go ahead and do whatever you need. You'll never get to the bottom fast enough. You all are, it's too late. You're doomed here with me.
The bottom? What does that mean?
D's nuts.
Oh my God. Oh.
Wow.
That's not how you do that, but it was so good. That was wild.
I wink at Adam because he taught me that like 2 days ago, and I'm just going to get us the heck out of here.
I'm no longer embarrassed.
Yeah.
I think that I've never been more impressed with Susan than I am in this moment.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And Derek whips his head around and he goes, did someone say nuts?
Oh, no.
Now, the timer is back on, correct?
No.
We take 2 minutes off. Be.
Yeah. Okay. So 1 second. 2 minutes real time or 2 minutes game time? Like how much?
We were at 5 minutes left of real time.
Yeah, we were
time,
at five
right?
minutes before. Yeah.
Right, so that's two and a half minutes in game.
Oh, okay.
I was assuming. I was assuming anytime we're talking about time, great, we're talking about real time. So that we're now down to 3 minutes real time, 1.5 minutes in game before this compound explodes.
I'm ready to start whenever. Tell me when.
Great. When?
Go.
I'm gonna reach for Tori Pals. Put my arms out for everybody to come touch me, and I'm opening a portal.
Tori Pals is at the other end of the room, surrounded by Zomblegrobs, monsters she's been fighting the whole time. Again, she wasn't with you for this. We could do the move again if you want to grab Tori Pals, but that's not a freebie.
Should we do that, gang?
How much time do we have?
We have 1.5 minutes and it takes 2 minutes.
I don't think we should. Sorry.
I'm just going to scream across the room like, Barb, if we take you with us, can you get us out of here safely, including Tori?
And Barb is on the ground and she's just like, I mean, you think I'd have a self-destruct that I couldn't turn off? Please.
Then turn it off, you...
Yeah, wait, what?
Freaking just turn it off. Butt.
Yeah.
No, thanks. I'm good.
Wait, you want to die?
You want to die?
I'll be okay.
No, you won't. You'll be dead.
But I'll win.
No, you won't.
No, you won't. Oh. You'll be dead. You don't win when you're dead.
Yeah, I'm going to win.
You can't win.
We'll take you with us, and you can live in the two-bedroom.
What was that?
I said, we'll take you with us, and you can live in the two-bedroom.
Susan, you agreeing to this?
Yes.
Okay, I get to live, and I get the two-bedroom.
Okay.
Well, you get to live in the two-bedroom. You don't get the two-bedroom.
Do it now.
Now, Barb. Now.
Fine. So the terms of this are, you are all...
I'm pausing. I'm pausing while you say the terms.
You're giving
okay.
Barb your two-bedroom?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
or at least we're saying that. We
I don't
are.
Know. It just it feels like that was offered up, so that's what it is. And I'm proud of my kids.
Is it that you're giving up the two bedroom, or that she gets to live in the two bedroom with you?
I am not living there with her, so I'm giving it up to her.
Also,
please.
We could just be lying.
Right. So if you are lying, I'm going to make you roll manipulate someone.
Oh,
do it.
If you're
I
not
will say
lying,
this, that
I
Susan
won't.
Is fully prepared to do it.
Okay, so Susan is giving up her condo to Barb in wow. exchange for the countdown
I feel
to
bad.
Be stopped.
I just said that.
Susan.
No, I am proud of my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh.
Proud of my
girl.
And great. So if you mean it, and she can tell, twin magic, you know.
Mm-hmm. Bellas.
Uh-huh. Then she's like, compound. Knock your sexy self off. And the countdown just goes, let's see, what are we at? 1.5 minutes? 90 yep. seconds? Oh, you. And then it, and the alarm starts, stops. Everything else crazy is still happening. Monsters fighting everywhere. They're swarming in. The big puddle of Susan blood on the ground is this provocative sense in the air that the bundle grabs are driving towards. And Barb is like, you're going to need to untie me now.
Why?
Why?
We're going to want to get out of here before the real thing shows up.
What's the real thing?
And you feel a shaking underneath the floor of the...
That's not me.
Okay. Let's get the car. Let's get the car stand and
did
go.
Did you fart?
That's not me. I would own up to it. I love my farts. Shamanda fart blog.
Runs to the door, spies the car, pulls it out front.
Wait
vroom,
a second.
Vroom, 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 vroom. Ready to go when you are.
We got to get Tori.
I'm going to get into this car because look how cool Shamanda looks. But we're going to talk about this because, Adam, if you're the secret author behind the Fartful Dodger, I want to know.
I also...
Yeah, I am.
Go ahead, Crashly.
I was just going to say, we still got to get Tori.
Yeah. So I was just going to say, if I could go walk over, because the pound of grub should be near my blood and not mm-hmm. Tori, could I go pick her up?
Yeah.
Or attempt it?
Well, I think this is sort of a rescue operation. So we've turned the timer off. So now we have time. We can do a similar thing. Who all is going to try to grab Tori?
I'm big and strong, so I'll go.
Okay. So
I'm going.
Is it just Susan and Crashly?
I'll help. I mean, I got a cool hat.
Susan, Crashly, Adam, anybody else helping to get Tori? Or it sounds to me like Shamanda is going to get the car.
Who's on Barb duty?
Derek and CEJ, it sounds like. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, can you guys tie her up and put her in the car seat? I have an adult car seat for Barb in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on it, babe.
Okay, great. So the three of you who are going to get Tori are going to do... teamwork makes the dream work again. So
yes,
each of you is going to roll. I think this is going to be tough because you're just fighting over to get to her. So this is each of you roll plus tough. That means, each of you roll plus tough.
I was like, this is going to be tough.
I mean, it is, but.
I got a 10.
I got a 12.
Hell yeah.
Whoa.
I got a 1.
Oh, how?
Oh,
what?
Oh. Well, okay. I had a 3 and then I have a -2 to tough. That's
we know
right.
that you're going to successfully do this. Let's run through how this works out. Crashly, you run into real trouble. Describe what happens to you, like real trouble. As the three of you move over to go get Tori, something very wrong happens to you. What is it?
Well, the thing that, I don't know why this popped in my head, but I think my leg falls off from the knee.
Falls off?
My left one. Like there's something going on with the angel body and it just falls off like a Barbie or a Ken doll leg might.
Yeah. I mean, you've been possessing this body for quite some time. It's not really how it's supposed to work. You do realize that like these angelic bodies are powered by angelic beings and forces that you do not yourself possess.
I'm no angel.
You're no angel. And the leg just kind of, it's clean.
Yeah, it's not bloody.
It's not bloody. It's not rotten or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just not a leg anymore.
Yeah.
That's a tat.
Yeah, it's,
and
I'm
you go down hard, I assume.
Yeah. I go down hard. I biff. It hurts and it's embarrassing.
And more than one Bondel Grob hybrid leans over for the quick meal.
Oh.
Of my leg?
No, of the Crashly.
Oh, no, no.
So then, Jeff, you got an 11 and...
I got 12.
And Claire,
got
you got
10.
A 10. So, Susan, it's up to you then. You impress everyone present. What do you do in this moment?
And I'm sorry. So, Crashly is in danger.
Crashly is currently in danger. Yeah.
I am going to scoop up Crashly and walk straight towards Tori. And can Tori hear me as I'm speaking?
She can.
I'm going to, as I'm carrying Crashly there, everyone is very impressed by this. I'm going to be like, Tori, I think I was unclear earlier. I was asking you out for a romantic coffee. I was trying to do a wink, wink, but I would like to be more clear. I would like to take you on a date.
Yes, everybody present is impressed by this.
And then I'm going to do like, probably not to the Braemar Center.
Everybody laughs.
Tori laughs back. Tori takes your hand and stands up. You're there. So you have Crashly over your shoulder, kind of leaning heavily against you. You have Tori on the other side. You're surrounded by these group of Zomble Grobs. Adam Miller, what are you doing in this moment? You rolled a 12. You are also going to impress everyone. Mm-hmm. You're going to resolve this completely. You all do successfully get Tori Pals. What do you do to ensure that
I think an idea pops into my old noggin, or should I say my lid? And I
hold for laughs.
Yeah, everyone laughs. Mm-hmm. Everyone laughing. Okay, we'll put that in post. I think I just start acting like a Bondle Grob. I'm like, ooh, follow me, brothers and sisters. Let's go. And I try to lead them away from Tori.
Yeah, and for some reason, it works. Like a little Pied Piper, Adam Miller, the rest are just like, oh, we're getting up. We're going. Oh,
yes, let's go. I found another thing we can eat over here.
Oh, let's go. Yes. And they follow and they're like, yes, we must make way for the original. Yes, of course. Yes, we're coming up. Woo-hoo.
The original. Did you all hear that?
Oh, I did.
Not good.
That's not good.
And Adam, you then like kind of do a quick dive. So the room is, so I assume you're just sort of clearing the room of Bondle Grobs. Is that?
Trying to clear, yeah, like a sort of a path for us to get our Tori to get out.
Yeah, you do that. And then you all watch. And Adam Miller, you know, it's a thing of like a second ago, Adam Miller was just truly awful, just ripping through stuff. But you remember the good side of Adam Miller. He's also in a pinch. He's very creative.
I'm a hero.
And you all are pretty impressed by his acting ability as he does that. As you're moving forward, Tori, leaning heavily on you, Susan, says like,
you know, I realized after I walked away that I wasn't sure if that's what you had meant, but I would like that. When are you free next?
And as you go to talk, you feel inside yourself, the next 318 days are completely blocked off.
Oh. I was thinking next year.
Oh.
Oh, it's a long story. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And I'll explain it in the car ride.
Okay. Wow. Quite a commitment before a commitment, but.
It is.
Honk, 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 honk.
But at least, hey, Tori, think of it this way. At least I'm not leaving you in a hole.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. That is true.
Feels good to laugh.
Yeah. And you all get inside the car. What is the car again?
1993 Nissan Quest GXE.
Yes, that's right. Barb did have a better escape vehicle, but somebody loaded it up with promotional materials, I believe, and fell in a sinkhole.
Yeah.
So she's had to make do. Okay. So you all are getting in. So you all bundle into the car. You can feel this rumble as Shamanda puts the car into drive and starts to drive down L Street. The library behind you erupts. Explosion.
Wait, I thought we turned that off.
And as you're saying that, Barb's like, that's not me. That's not me.
You're such a freaking liar, Barb. It's unbelievable.
You don't get the 2-bedroom now.
Yeah. You reneged on your end of the deal.
Shamanda, as you're looking in your mirrors, you see a vast inky black form emerging from the rubble of the library, and you just hear a
Susan!
As the original Bondle Grob emerges from the rubble.
Susan, we need a portal, and we need a portal fast.
We need a flamethrower, and we need to make it big. We gotta kill that thing.
Who is that?
Can anyone harness the power of the sun and bring it down to Earth for just a second?
How big is this thing?
I don't have the resources.
The bundle grab right now, thing. I would say, is probably about 40 feet tall.
Oh,
that's
and it's vulnerable to fire. That's its vulnerability.
Do I still have a flamethrower?
And it's in a building full of explosives.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
Barb needs to blow up the building. If Barb has any saving grace, she's got to blow up the building right now.
Barb. Yeah. Barb.
And so here's what I want to say. Can we say that all my exes get out of there that weren't killed by the bottle grab? That is my only fear.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I guess I could like close the book or something.
Oh, yeah. And send them away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can disappear.
That's a good
Tyler, point. Would that work for you in canon if I just close or somehow finish the spell?
I don't give a fuck. You do what you want.
shit.
Okay, we're just going to say...
That's magic.
It's your story. I'm just hanging out in it.
All right, so Black Inky Thing says that, I'm going to say, Exlers, disassemble. And I'm just going to shut the book and get them out of Aurora.
Great, yeah. As soon as you shut the book, they just... Just like a bunch just popping out of existence.
Someone licked my ear on the way out.
Bet it was Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
As Shamanda's driving, she does the mom thing where she like sticks her arm back and grabs Barb by her scruff. You blow up that building and you blow it up right now or I'm going to pull this car over.
Well, I can't voice command it when we're not in the building anymore.
I could hack into the system using weird science.
Yes, come on, Adam. Yes.
Give it a shot, Adam.
All right.
Wait, and how are you hacking into the system? You're in a car right now.
I'm popping into the radio, and I'm using the antenna to connect all the way to the radio system in the library, because everyone loves a radio.
Yes!
Yeah, that's who doesn't science, love a radio?
Baby. Yeah.
Okay. When you attempt to create something that does the fantastic roll plus weird.
Okay, so the two dice I rolled are a 6 and a 6 plus my 1 weird.
That's my God.
13.
13 is the weirdest number.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, Adam Miller, you successfully managed to use the FM frequencies to hack into the thing. You're controlling it through like the tuning knob on the mm-hmm. radio. It's you're just programming in pure binary.
CEG, give me room.
Wait, go back. That was the Snow Patrol song I like.
No, shut not up, now. CJ. I like it too, but we'll listen to it later.
What are you programming in? You have access to, so you have successfully hacked in to mm-hmm. control the system. What are you telling it to do?
I'm telling it to open a direct channel from the car to the library. And I'm like, Barb, do your duty.
Fine. Re-engage. You sexy queen.
And the countdown picks up where it left off.
Okay, let me see where that is. I think that it's about a minute and 10 seconds our time.
Mm-hmm.
Pedal to the metal.
It's like 40 seconds.
Do we got to like keep it there, though? Or like, does the hotel blow up? Or I forget what's blowing up.
You don't really know. Barb is the only one who knows how it works. And she is like,
you're going to want to move a lot faster than you're currently moving.
All right. Okay. Shamanda floors it.
Yeah, let's get a portal out of here.
And turns on the NOS.
Ooh. Oh.
Nice.
Wait. Are you trying to establish that this beater car has NOS in it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant NOS.
Oh. That too.
Yeah.
All I need is one mic.
Hello and love him, baby. Yeah. Wow.
I start playing Ether, and then we just drive through a portal.
Like,
so when I make a song request, we're too busy hacking the FM stations.
Let's see here. So,
got yourself a gun.
Okay. As you're moving forward, you're driving. Aaron, go ahead and pause while I describe out this moment here. As you are flooring it down L Street, trying to make your way to, what is it, Highway 14?
Mm-hmm.
And blast your way out of town. You know, you're going down L Street, you're taking the right onto 14, trying to get out as quickly as you can. You look behind you, and you hear this countdown very dimly over the radio. It's at like 45 seconds for Barb Wexler.
44 seconds for Barb Wexler, just going, and Barb is just like, I love the sound of my voice. The thing behind you, the Bondelgrab, is just shouting in its enormous voice of just,
no, Susan, we must stay together.
And it is coming behind, following you all. It reaches a giant pseudopod down. It smashes towards and in front. Susan, I believe you told me you were going to
open that portal.
Mm-hmm.
While you're prepping to do that, Shamanda, I need you to roll to act under pressure.
Okay. Got the Shamanda.
Under pressure, you say. That's going to be a 9.
Hmm.
I go, ouchie walla.
Ouchie walla.
Ouchie bang bang.
More importantly, you don't lose control of it, but the car is surrounded by Bondelgrab.
Oh, fart.
You are all currently safe, but the car itself is surrounded as you are into this inky black moment. Susan, you need to roll. Let's see here. In order to do this, I think this is a little bit more like big magic. So let me see what the additional thing here is, because obviously it doesn't necessarily take a long time. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it right now. You are going to need to roll use magic. Yeah, Susan, here's what it is going to be. In order to open a bounce portal that will be big enough for a car and everyone inside it to get through, you are going to have to sacrifice time. You tell us, how much time of your own life do you have to give up for this portal to open?
Okay, interesting. Can I say that I forget 6 months of my life?
What is the allure of that to you?
I was going to say I was going to forget my one semester in middle school when I was in with the cool gang in Aurora, Nebraska. And not only do I not remember it, no one remembers it.
Yes, absolutely. You forget the 6 months that you're in the cool group in Aurora. It is also the only 6 months in which you and Barb ever had anything resembling like intimacy or friendship or closeness because she was part of that group.
All sad.
So you will lose the good moments of your relationship with Barb.
Totally. Oh, that's honestly, I'm literally leaving that behind in Aurora. I think that fits really well for me. And I did roll a 9.
Okay, great. So on a 9 with this, Susan, do you say anything to Barb? You can feel as you're getting ready to cast this that you need to sacrifice something. As you're looking at Barb sitting, you know, hogtied in the back seat, you can feel that it needs to be something impactful, powerful. Do you say anything to her in this last moment of remembering that?
Nope.
Great. On a mixed success, it has the effect that you want. So we're going to form the portal, but there's also going to be a glitch. What glitch takes place? It's weakened. It's of short duration. You take harm, draws immediate unwelcome attention, or it has a problematic side effect.
I'm going to say there is, even though I don't speak to Barb, there is just tears coming down my face. Like, I don't want to speak to her about it. I don't think it'll have an impact on her. And as I do it, I don't know how or what this would look like, but I'm going to say I take more harm, probably having to do with that open leg injury.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. So you're taking one harm.
Mm-hmm. Which I gave myself 2 for the leg injury. Do we feel good about that? Or should I have done 3? I just went with Blessed Knife.
If the Blessed Knife does 2, you took 2 harm.
Okay. All right, so I take additional damage.
So you'll take additional harm. What is the spell? What do you say for the spell?
Oh, gosh, we've done this for a portal before, so I'm sorry if anybody remembers the actual thing.
Yeah, we're very tight on our magic lore.
I know. I just know there's going to be like a couple people who are like, I know this, and it's bad. So
it can be new every time, though.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, this one's definitely a little bit different, and that's why I'm doing it differently.
Right.
Sisters, they were never, ever sisters.
I don't even know what's happening, but I love that song. And so, yeah, maybe I'm going to say aloud, forget the sister to save the sister. Home we go. Oh, ahoy.
I love the way your spells end every time.
Ahoy.
That's so good.
Yeah,
And as you, as this thing comes down, this pseudopod of just tar wraps around the car, you can feel the car lifting up as it is bringing it in. You can feel the roof of the car starting to crumple as the stress and the power of this Bondelgrab is pushing on it, ripping. And in that moment, the portal is not quite as clean as it might be at other times. It's just immediately under the seats of the car, a portal forms and all of the seats drop through. Where do you all land, Susan?
In Barb's new two-bedroom apartment.
Oh, man.
Inside Barb's new two-bedroom condo, a series of the seats of a 95 Nissan Qex GXC, the two front seats and the bench back seat, they just slam to the ground. As above you, you all see the Bondelgrab there, an enormous eye, the size of the portal, looks through and is just going, but
Susan, we could be together.
Maybe in hell.
And at that point, 1 second. Bye-bye, Barb. You just hear it. You just hear more than feel the flames as the Bondelgrab starts to cry out in pain. And I assume you're letting the portal close.
Mm-hmm.
And the portal winks out. You find yourselves all in Barb's two-bedroom condo. What do you all do in this moment?
This place is kind of a dump, Barb.
And not my problem.
Let's go to the three-bedroom, Susan.
No, I keep the three bedroom.
Yeah, that's where Susan lives now.
No, yep. I keep both. She can rent for me if she wants.
No, oh. I don't think that's how it works, Barb, because that's not what we said. We said you get to live in the two bedroom.
So and we didn't say anything right. About
you
the three
bedroom. You got tricked by teens.
Be careful what you wish for.
Hang on. You can't say that I got tricked by a teen. There wasn't anything said about it. Barb is going to try to turn back on you, Crashly, her belittlement ability. So, Crashly, go ahead and roll plus sharp.
Okay.
Barb, I don't know what you think you're going to do here. You fell for a D's nuts joke, so...
Am I going to punch this lady in her gut? I feel bad.
I got a 9.
She's going to throw you off, so she is going to successfully draw attention to a part of yourself that you're sensitive about. What part of that is it?
I mean, it could be any part. But I think right now, really, for Crashly, it's like Crashly's personhood, like sense of self. I think is the really sensitive.
Well, what does she say to, what is the neg?
Yeah, you know, the neg, I guess, no, I'm going to take that back. The neg is really like something like, well, you're never going to look as good as you do right now. Even with half a leg, that body's better than anyone you're ever going to inhabit from here on forward. So congrats.
You're so evil, Barb.
Yeah, she's very mean.
Shamanda pulls up the big ugly purse, fishes out the book and hands it to Susan. I think now is a time more than ever.
Thanks, bud. And is there something you want me to do?
I want you to get bring Crashly back.
Please cut that from the recording. I'm just going to restart.
You're going through a lot. You're going through a lot.
It's a lot happening.
You got it, bud. And I start to cast the spell to bring Crashly back.
Okay.
Yay.
So, Susan, you're just going to immediately go into the resurrection spell.
You betcha.
Okay. I think Tori is going to be like, you know, I think maybe I should give y'all some space. I don't know that you need me here for this.
Hey, who the heck is that?
Whatever.
Tori, I think, maybe this would be a time where you don't immediately leave.
All right. Well, why don't I take this one to the next room, at least give y'all some privacy. She gestures Barb.
And Barb, you know, continues to be hogtied and is like,
yeah, let me show you to my boudoir.
Ugh.
Tori also goes, ugh, and then gives you a wink, Susan.
I pull off my nasty, partially burned, wet sock, and I just stuff it into Barb's mouth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
And I lean down, and I get eye level with her, and I'm like, oh, and by the way, Barb, I'm going to need that back at some point, because I don't have a lot of socks that match.
Great. She just, you know.
What? What? Your enunciation socks.
Nice.
Add them up top. Yeah.
Oh, that was fun.
Barb and Tori, or Tori leaves the room with Barb, giving you all some space there in the living room of the condo, probably for the last time for you, Susan. You know that you need three ingredients for this resurrection. Teeth from a magical creature, which I believe you have.
Check.
You need your spell book.
Check.
And you need water from a distant river.
I'm going with Sprite, dude.
Mm. We're going to try Sprite. We'll see. We'll see how that goes. So this is big magic. So big magic, not only does it require ingredients, it often involves something else as well. I think, you know, you would also need the spirit. You have the spirit there. This is going to take some time. This is going to be like a rest of the night thing. So you settle down and you begin the ritual. Do you involve the kids in the ritual? Do you?
Yes, of course. Everybody kind of get cozy. This is going to take a minute. And would it be crass if we had some popcorn?
I think that would be great.
Just a little snack.
Yes.
You know,
I'll take mine unpopped.
I'm just so proud of all of us.
Thanks for giving up your apartment on a whim.
You know what? I was starting to get a little bored of this place anyways. Yeah. And I start the spell.
Great. As you go through it, you prepare the spell, and there is one part of it that you have not told the kids that is an ingredient for this.
Uh-oh.
I'm springing this on you, Claire, in the moment.
Oh, sheesh.
But as you're doing it, obviously resurrecting someone from the dead is a big friggin' deal spiritually and magically. And it might be in part because of the substitution of Sprite that this does, but as you're doing the spell, it just doesn't quite feel like enough oomph. There isn't quite enough there. And we, you know, with spells, they often require something that, like an emotional component, like a thing that is important to the spellcaster. And as you're casting this, you encounter probably like hour three of this long spell. Like it's like a 5-hour spell. You have, you know, your circle of salt there. You have Crashly sort of
Popcorn.
I guess Crashly probably has to leave her body for it, or leave the body that she's in. So Crashly is just sort of floating around inside this circle. In any case, you hit a point where you realize this spell requires a promise made for a deed to be done. So like a sacrifice, but instead of giving something up, it is ensuring that something happens. You're committing to, you need to, you or someone else present needs to commit to something that will be done to right the scales for the universe in terms of like, it needs to be something important that takes place. Does this make sense?
It does. It does. And so I have a couple ideas in my mind here. Did you have one?
No. I'm just going to throw it out and see what you do with it.
Okay, great. I was going to say either A, I go like clean up the physical mess at Barora.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that's all good. Maybe go kill that final Bondelgrob that we sent to another like place.
Right, the Howler.
Oh.
That to me makes the most sense.
Okay.
Or like be like, I'm going to spend 6 months like interning for Chadriel or something.
Yeah. I mean, of those, I think what makes most sense to me is the middle of those or is to kind of a combo of the first two of like, I think what makes sense to me is that you're like, I need to end the Bondelgrob. Like, I'm going to commit to doing that, which is a thing that you wanted to do before. Like, you know, you've always been like, I want to. But I think this is a little bit of a moment of growth where it's like, Susan has, in the past, Susan just sort of was like, it's really hard. I really can't figure out what to do about this, and sort of gave up and just went with like a mitigation model of like, we just need to stop the Bondelgrob.
But like, if this teen is willing to give up their life for the thing, like, what am I not willing to do? You know?
Yeah.
Like, how dare I?
Yeah. It's just like stopping caused this problem. And like, you're like, I need to fix it. Like, in absolute terms. So I think you sort of are like, I'm going to take the next chunk of time to set things right.
Mm.
And I think that is going to involve then probably Susan leaving town for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But the kids, do you tell the kids that? Do you tell them about this promise that you make the universe?
I don't tell them right now. I will tell them before I go, but no.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, this is probably maybe metagaming, but Adam is obsessed with the vial of the Bondelgrob after burning luck on it. So I don't know if you know that, but.
Well, I was wondering if that that might be what is the difference this time through, ultimately, is that Adam, with his weird science, might be able to provide some insights that you didn't have before.
Is Adam getting sharp?
Ooh, God, Adam, dude. Are you leveling up with a little sharp?
Ooh.
Maybe I will. I don't know if I'm leveling up today.
I've
misrolled so many times. I'm leveling up like 10 rolls. Times.
Yeah. Oh, maybe I did level up, then I'm at 4 right now.
We'll see. In this moment, though, Susan, you realize that you sort of are taking on a mystic quest, as it were, as the final ingredient for this. And as the clock in your former condo hits midnight and starts to ding out, the spell begins to come to fruition. And you all watch the corporeal form of Crashly Grenadine forming in the circle in front of you. And the spirit getting pulled in breath by breath into this body. Crashly, I have a very important question.
Okay.
How old is this body?
Oh. She's 8.
No. Don't do that.
14. 14 looks 12.
No. 14 looks 12. So yeah. Back into the body she left.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but that's true. Yeah.
Crashly, you look so beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
Give me a hug, buddy.
Okay.
I missed you.
Me too. I'm sorry I died. That was like
it's not your
really
fault.
Brave, but really, really, really rude.
No, not rude.
Okay.
From the other room, you just hear, happy birthday, sis.
Happy birthday, Susan.
1201 hits, and Susan... It is your birthday.
Oh, best present ever. And I hug Crashly again.
And I pull out from the freezer a cookie cake that I bought 7 weeks ago to make sure that on her birthday there was something in the apartment.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is the best present ever.
And it says, happy burn day, Susan, because that's what they thought I said over the phone. But it's okay. Happy birthday. It's chocolate chip. Your favorite.
Thank you. And yeah, this is honestly, kids, this is the best birthday I've ever had.
Wow, that's so sad.
What?
I went to Dave and Buster's.
What? When?
Kind of rocked.
I wasn't invited.
We said we weren't going to tell Adam.
I told your parents about it. They were both there.
You told my dad?
Shamanda goes to the stereo and turns on Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday and they dance.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm just like leaning back on the wall watching the kids and smiling.
Happy birthday to you. And that is where we end our season.
Wow.
That's so nice.
It's messy and
I'm
it's
so
ours.
Happy.
Mm-hmm. We're all back together.
It is messy and it is ours.
Yay.
Thanks so much for listening, Monster Hunters. If you enjoyed this, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or give us a shout out on social media at Mystery County, or just tell a friend. It really helps us grow our audience, and we are so grateful to you for sharing this creepy, crawly little county of ours. Until next time, thank you for this time. You're all so great.
People pay good money for that, Claire. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, bottle that piss.
Oh, yes.
Aaron's got some casting to do.
Yeah, that's right. I am currently casting.
This is why we need women in STEM.
Thank you.
In the universe of Starwall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Starwall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjack's role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Starwall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.